to Thriving with a Chronic Illness. I am your host, Smiling Sonia, and I share ideas, tools, and strategies I've learned living with and recovering from recurrent viral meningitis. I've undergone mindset shifts that have helped me move from just living to striving with a chronic illness. I know what it's like to worry about taking extended sick leave or losing a job through chronic illness. I share how you can become financially stable with the peace of mind that you have enough money saved to prepare for those emergencies and cover future financial goals.
Good morning. Smiling Sonia here. It's Saturday, the 13th of February, 2021. I've had a break from recording, mainly because, well, partly because we've had a lot of snow and I made the decision not to go out walking in the snow. Also, the last time I recorded, I was thinking about my tiredness in the evenings, and I was planning to spend this last week sort of monitoring, doing a sort of, what do they call it, time and something, exercise anyway. Well, I didn't do anything as formal as that, but I think what I realised is the working out, although it was quite a small and not really heavy workout, and going for my walk was probably a little bit too much. And so I did a workout each day. It also meant there wasn't sort of a rush to sort of start work. I had a bit of a buffer, really. So, yeah, so that was good. Yeah, so that's my reason for not recording my audio journal for the week. Although, of course, I could have recorded indoors. But there's something about... I've got such a strong link between coming out walking and doing my audio journal that the thought of doing it indoors, yes. Anyway, I'm out today. I'm in a different woods today, and so it's been lovely just walking and exploring a different area. So that's been really enjoyable. I'm going to be talking about some insurance today, insuring ourselves against when shit happens, I've said it, and insuring ourselves against that. Not sure what I'm going to give to the title. But I was listening to a podcast, Black Women Working, I think it is, and the title of their podcast is something like When Shit Happens. So I've just finished listening to that. Very, very informative. A lot I already know, but very informative. And just talking about it from a black female perspective and about finances and how our attitude to money and insurance within the black community. Very interesting. So I'm going to explore that a bit from my perspective, of course. And look, I'm talking about insurance. It's not my speciality. I'm just talking about my own experience, of course, and what I've done, what I'm thinking about doing as well. Excuse me. We hear some dogs in the background. There's some walkers. I'm actually walking. There's snow here. So where I'm walking at the moment is quite snowy. I'm not over here, can you hear it? In my feet. Wow. This was over a week ago, this would have been mud. Sinking mud. It's all frozen and crispy. Lovely. Lovely. Do I have anything to update on? Specifically around my health, because of course, yes, and obviously I'm going to give a bit of a perspective about sort of having a chronic illness as well, and mention something about the current coronavirus. I'll see what I remember when I start talking. So, just to give you some feedback, my evenings have been much the same in that I've gone to bed earlier, but I haven't had the tiredness that I had the week before. I've got over the next couple of weeks, I've got time off. So for each week, I'll only be in work one day a week, partly because I've got leave built up and I need to take the leave before the new leave year starts in March. And I've still got quite a lot of time to take. Some of it because I was off sick for a period, and because I was working from home as well, and because of the pandemic, I guess I wasn't going anywhere. So I just didn't take the leave. But I need to take some now. And I do, and maybe this is one of the things I need to think about, that actually, even if I'm not going anywhere, I need to take the leave. I need to plan my leave a bit better than I have been. So over the next 2 weeks, out of 10 days, I'm only working two. And yesterday, Friday, was the day off as well. And so usually, anybody who kind of does kind of work that I do, cases, casework, and it's not, as I said before, a bit different to if you're working maybe in an occupation where you go off and somebody else just takes over. My work doesn't get taken over, it just sits there and waits for me. But it accumulates in the meantime. So let me talk a bit of this thing about insurance. What was interesting, as I was listening to this podcast, and they were raising various issues that I really understood, especially from a black perspective, was there, I know, there's this thing about, I think, insurance being a scam and just taking your money. Because you're paying to an insurance, life insurance, and then it only pays out when you die. But then, of course, there are different types of insurance, isn't there? There's term insurance and whole policy insurance. Look, again, I'm not an expert. I'm just regurgitating what I hear. Now, I think the best way to sort of illustrate this is to give a personal example. And I did talk about this at the time when it happened, but at that point, I hadn't started my podcast. So it's in my audio journal already, but not published as a podcast. So I think this may be the first time I'm talking about it. Anyway, when my dad passed away in July 2018, and I was still off sick at the time with my fifth viral meningitis attack. I was going to the hospital because he was ill for a little while. It was a surprise that he was in the hospital, I think, for a couple of weeks or so before his time came. And what I can remember most about that time, yes, the great sadness of my dad passing, but the stress and pain associated with his family, because he remarried, so my stepmother, them not having the money to pay for his funeral. And So I had to get a loan in the end to pay for the funeral. And 2 years later, there's a legacy left of that because they had a mortgage. And my stepmother hasn't got a job. And she does have an adult child who brings in some income. But even so, she's been left in a situation where she's struggling. She still is struggling. Now, had my dad had a life insurance policy, when he passed away, it's likely the policy would have paid for the funeral, paid off the mortgage, and my stepmom would be in a situation where she wouldn't have had that financial worry. There is a bit of a workplace pension, but it's minuscule. I mean, it is minuscule. And I remember at the time when this was happening, I talked about it in my audio journal because I just thought, the pain and suffering that's going on after my dad's passing, and it's not just affecting the immediate people, but obviously, you know, family members and trying to raise the money at the time. You know, your loved one has passed away. You don't want to be worrying about finances. You really don't. My situation, I have a life policy. I also have a death benefit associated to my workplace pension. And so I have a dependent young adult who is 21 and at university, so definitely a dependent. So if I was to pass away, the house or my portion of it would be paid off. And there'd be a death benefit as well. I also have an emergency fund. So my funeral costs would be covered. Now, I remember having a conversation with my dad. And here's the interesting thing. Growing up, my parents always paid into an insurance. They always had these short-term insurance policies, sort of 10-year policies. They did one for each of us children as well. So it paid out, but obviously during the term, I suppose if you passed away, it would pay out a lump sum too. And I remember having a conversation with my dad, not that long before he passed away. And he was talking about an insurance. And I think he was talking about life insurance, something like that, and that he was paying into this policy, and it came to the end, and he was expecting to get a payout, lump sum, but it didn't. It didn't pay out anything. And so his attitude was, excuse me, I'm a bit froggy. His attitude was, these insurance people, they're a scam. They just want your money. So when I was listening to the podcast today, I thought, oh my gosh, that's a conversation I was having with my dad. And he was saying, you know, it's a scam. You know, you pay all this money each month and then they tell you, you know, it comes to an end and then they tell you that you don't get anything back. And I listened to him. I did try to explain how insurance kind of works, not that I'm an expert again. But an example, I pay car insurance. Okay. And it only pays out if I have an accident. I pay home contents insurance, which only pays out if something happens, a burglary, etc. Otherwise, you just keep paying it and you don't get any money back. Morning. And so I don't know whether him not having insurance at the time when he passed away has anything to do with his attitude towards insurance. Now, why do I have insurance? Now, this is an interesting story. So the first time I got an insurance policy was when I bought the house that I'm living in. So that's when I learned at the time that the mortgage, in order to get the mortgage, we had to have life cover. And that life cover was for the duration of the mortgage. And it did come, morning. And it did come to an end at a certain point because I did remortgage, etc. And when I remortgaged, I didn't take life insurance. I believe I did. Anyway, so we had life insurance at that point, and that was linked to the mortgage. Okay, so that kind of made sense. And so it would make sure that the mortgage would get paid off, and I guess the mortgage company, it's something in it for them. The reason I have this, my current life policy, I went to a presentation and they were talking about insurance. And I invited this advisor back and he did this presentation in our home. And for the first time, I got it. I understood why me, a person in my position, needed to have life cover. And it's interesting what was being talked about today as well, because they're talking about how, especially, I think, black people, you know, me, when you, there's this image of insurance as something that white middle class people do. And I think I have looked at it in that way in the past. Because, you know, when you watch dramas and you hear stories of, you can hear these stories about people after, you know, people getting killed. And it's because of the life policy. And obviously when we watch these on TV, it's usually white people. So I thought, well, that's interesting. This is really interesting. So the presentation gave an example that, you know, if you were a wealthy family and you had property, you know, business or whatever, that when you died and you had land and property, that land and property, I guess, could be sold and, you know, or I guess, family continue living in the property, or there'd be assets that could be sold off and pay for things. So basically, what we were being told was, look, you, as an average working class person, you're living a property, maybe, with a mortgage. And there's kind of no wealth in that, really, because, you know, if you pass away, the mortgage needs to be paid. And probably what would happen is that the property is sold to pay off the mortgage, and there may not be much money left. And so the idea of insurance is that that's like having land. That's like owning property and land. That's like having assets. So that when you pass away, there's this money, yeah, tax-free money, that you can then use. Yes, you can use it to pay things off, but your insurance policy is such that there's enough to maybe pay off debts, enough to act as a buffer for either a partner or children to continue sort of having some income until they can get themselves sort of stable again. So it's when I understood that I realised I have to have life policy. Now, one of the things, at the time when I got the life policy, morning, when I got life policy, I also got this illness cover. And so I understood that if I became critically ill, I would get a sort of payout. I'm not sure how, because I don't have it at the moment. That was a term that came to an end. And one of the things I am thinking about now, of course, is I haven't got that. Maybe that's something I should look into, critical cover. And the other thing that I haven't got that I heard about today that I do know about is income protection. And again, if I lost my income, lost my job, I guess, that I would have income coming in. So again, I'm not an expert, but I listened to the information again, and it got me thinking, I need to reassess my current life policy anyway, because I took it out when I was in a relationship, and the idea was to cover the mortgage, and there's not much to pay on the mortgage now, to tell you the truth, the mortgage, and also to allow to cover debts, and we had a certain amount of debts at that time, which I'm not in that situation now. So I hadn't really thought about reassessing my life cover. And given that my son is 21, he's going to be finishing university and looking for a job. So once he gets a job, of course, then do I need to have life cover? And it's getting noisy now. Might walk around this way, back up this way, back down again. Life cover. So definitely some things for me to think about. And I was thinking again, because during this pandemic, people, this is where the shit happens, isn't it? People have lost their jobs. People have become ill. And people have come not just physically ill through the coronavirus, but people have anxiety and depression with all the worry and not able to work, which they probably wouldn't have even thought would happen. And so some kind of cover would mitigate against that. And I hadn't even thought about that. I hadn't even thought about the mental health side of things, quite frankly. So I thought, there's so much to think about here. So much to think about. And as I was listening, I was thinking, how difficult might it be if you have a chronic illness where you have various symptoms? How difficult might it be to get life insurance, or how much would you have to pay? And another thing I realised, I'm going to talk to my son about, just going to go over his head, is that as soon as he starts his job, to get a life policy, because the younger you are, the cheaper it will be. And look, because life happens, what if, I'm sure people that maybe don't consider this either, is, you know, sadly, children pass away, don't they? And you have to pay funeral costs. So you might have a policy to cover yourself if you die, but what if a child dies? You know, what if my son was to sadly become ill and pass away? Now, I would have the money to pay for his funeral because, as I said, I have an emergency fund. And I guess, yeah, that's where an emergency fund would come in. And that's why, for me, the foundation, everything comes back to having the emergency fund to start with. But I think alongside that, you have to have insurance, some kind of insurance to mitigate against some other things as well. And a story that I heard, which just makes it really sad, was the person sharing the information, I think she was on sharing the information, said her father passed away and left a partner and four children under the age of 25. And they had, her mother had to sell the house, and they went into private rented accommodation. And she explained, she said, a bit later on, they found out that he had a life policy, but 2 months before he passed away, he stopped paying because they were struggling financially. 2 months before he passed away. And as she said, had he had that policy, they probably wouldn't have had to leave the house. And I think the youngest child was 14. She mentioned the family policy as well, that pays out if you've got children under a certain age. So there's probably lots of things out there. And probably worth just checking things out, because I'm going to be checking some things out today. Or tomorrow. But I'm going to be checking some things out. Because I've just realised that I talk about these things, but I'm still learning so much in this area. And I do have a real interest at the moment with the black community and our relationship to money and how important it is for us to have financial stability, to be protected as well. Just me thinking about it. Definitely want to talk a little bit more about this. Definitely do. So it's very cold. And I think what I'm going to do now is finish off. My ears are freezing. I need to get in and have a nice hot drink, I think. But I missed you. I missed talking to you. Really have. So I'll be out again tomorrow, I'm sure. Now that the snow has subsided. And it's the weekend as well. So you take care, and I'll speak to you soon.
Hey, Smiling Sonia here, your host at Thriving with a Chronic Illness. Now be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on the next episode. Now if you liked what you heard today, be sure to visit my website, smilingsonia.com, to learn more about how I can help you build an emergency fund.